Right, let's dive into a case today that's sure to get some folks talking.
Oh, absolutely.
Goldman v. Weinberger. Ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah. Classic case. A real head scratcher when it comes to, religious freedom and the military.
Exactly. Imagine, right, you're serving your country, you're in uniform.
Right.
And someone tells you, you can't wear something as simple as a yarmulke because of your faith.
It really gets to the heart of the First Amendment. That clash between individual rights and what the military says it needs.
It's a tough one, for sure. So we're talking 1980s Cold War, tensions are high, and enter S. Simcha Goldman, Air Force psychologist, ordained rabbi.
Interesting combination. Right.
Right. You don't see that every day.
Not every day, no.
He finds himself kind of in the middle of this legal whirlwind.
And it all boils down to this yarmulke.
A yarmulke.
It wasn't like he was asking to, you know, carry a sword or something. Just this small piece of religious apparel.
But it blew up, didn't it?
Oh, it absolutely did. The implications were huge.
So for years, Goldman wears his yarmulke, no problem.
Really. As far as we know, yeah, no one said anything.
Then along comes this new regulation, Air Force Regulation 3510. What's the deal with that?
Basically, it banned all headgear indoors, unless you were, you know, security or something like that.
Yep.
On the surface, it seemed neutral enough, just about, you know, keeping a uniform appearance.
Sure, sure.
But for Goldman, it meant he couldn't wear his yarmulke while on duty.
So not intentional discrimination, but
on his face, no.
But it had that effect, right?
So that's exactly the issue. And that's what makes this case so interesting legally.
Yeah.
Because it raises the question, can a neutral rule that, you know, hits a religious practice harder still be okay under the First Amendment?
Big question.
Huge question.
And of course, it ends up in court.
Of course. Where else would it go?
Goldman sues, goes all the way to the Supreme Court. But before we get there, what happened in the lower courts?
Oh, it was back and forth. The district court actually sided with Goldman at first.
Right.
Said the Air Force didn't really have a strong enough reason to restrict his religious practice. But then the D.C. Circuit Court comes along and reverses that decision.
Oh, wow.
They put more emphasis on, you know, the military's need for uniformity and all that.
So even early on, we see that tension.
Absolutely. That tension is front and center throughout the whole case.
And then, boom, Supreme Court.
The big leagues.
What happened?
Well, in a 5-4 decision.
Oh, close.
Very close.
Yeah.
They sided with the Air Force that upheld the regulation.
So Goldman couldn't wear his yarmulke?
Not while on duty, no.
Not a great day for religious freedom then.
Not exactly.
And this all came down to military deference.
Yeah, right. That's his big part of it.
Now, for our listeners who, you know, aren't legal experts, break that down for us.
Sure. Military deference basically means the courts, they kind of give extra weight to what military leaders decide, especially when it's about military stuff.
So in this case, the Supreme Court's basically saying, hey, military, you handle this.
Pretty much. The majority opinion was all about how judges shouldn't second guess the military when it comes to, you know, discipline, uniformity, that sort of thing.
Specialized society is the term they used, wasn't it?
Exactly. They emphasized that the military is different, got its own unique needs.
Yeah,
keeping order, cohesion, that's crucial, especially in combat.
Makes.
Yeah.
But still, we're talking about a yarmulke.
I know, right?
A small head covering. How is that a threat to anyone?
Well, that's where the court brought up the slippery slope argument.
Ah, yes, the classic slippery slope.
We worried that if you allow one exception, everyone's going to be asking for something.
Okay.
And then it's chaos. The military can't function.
I see their point, but come on, is that really realistic?
That's debatable. Yeah. Some people think it's a legitimate concern. Others say it's just fear-mongering.
Hmm. Interesting. So what about those who disagreed with the court's decision?
Oh, there were some strong dissenting opinions, particularly from Justices Brennan, Blackmun, and O'Connor.
What do they have to say?
Well, Justice Brennan, for example, he pointed out that the Air Force didn't actually show any harm from Goldman wearing his yarmulke. It was all hypothetical.
So he's saying, show me the evidence.
Exactly. You shouldn't restrict someone's religious practice based on what-ifs.
Makes sense. Hmm. And what about the other justices?
Justice O'Connor, she proposed a kind of middle ground.
How?
She said the military should have to prove specific harm from any exemption, not just speculate about it.
So a bit more balanced approach.
Yeah, acknowledging both religious freedom and the military's needs.
I like that. And Justice Blackmun?
He was more skeptical. he questioned whether the Air Force was really being sincere about this whole uniformity thing.
Okay.
After all, Goldman had been wearing his yarmulk for years without any issues.
So maybe they had other motives.
That's what Blackmon seemed to be implying.
Wow, so this is getting even more complicated than I thought.
Oh, we're just scratching the surface.
We've got a divided court, strong dissenting opinions, and a yarmulk at the center of it all.
Buckle up. It's going to be a fascinating ride. You know, this whole specialized society thing the court kept bringing up, it's fascinating, isn't it? Like, it's not just legal mumbo jumbo.
Right.
It gets at what makes the military, well, the military.
I was thinking that too. So basically, different rules for those in uniform.
In a way, yeah. The court has always said the military needs to be able to maintain order, discipline, you know, all that.
Yeah, makes sense, especially in combat situations.
Exactly, where split-second decisions matter, trust in your unit is crucial, life or death stuff.
No room for error?
Not really, but that brings up the question, where's the line? How much deference is too much?
Yeah, how do you balance that need for a strong military with protecting individual rights? Feels tricky.
It is super tricky. Goldman v. Weinberger didn't really give us a clear answer. It set this precedent, but like we said, deference can go too far.
It's like a seesaw, you know? You need both sides, but it can't tip too much one way or the other.
Perfect analogy. So
yeah.
How do we make sure deference doesn't erode those basic freedoms?
Are there, like, safeguards in the system?
There are. That's where the courts come in.
Okay.
Even with deference, they got to scrutinize, make sure the military's decisions are really necessary.
So they're not just rubber stamping everything.
No, they're looking for evidence, making sure it's not just discrimination hiding behind a uniform.
Okay, so back to those dissenting opinions in Goldman, that's what they were getting at.
Exactly. You got to have a good reason, proof that something's actually harmful, not just, oh, what if?
Makes sense to me.
Hmm.
So it's not hands off. The courts are still involved.
Very much so. It's this constant back and forth, weighing military needs against individual rights. Never simple.
And Goldman, it didn't just stop at yarmulks, did it? It seems like it opened the door for so many other cases.
You got it. We see cases now about beards for Sikh service members, hijabs for Muslim women.
Wow.
Even Native American religious practices.
Wow.
All asking that same question, where's the line?
So Goldman set the stage, kind of.
It provided a framework. Courts now look at things like, how sincere is the belief? Is there a real risk of disruption? Can we do something else that's less restrictive?
So lots of nuance case by case.
Exactly. It's not just yes or no. There's a whole spectrum.
So you wonder, with all this debate, can there ever be a real solution, a way to respect both sides?
That's the million-dollar question. But there have been some positive steps.
Oh, like what?
The Department of Defense has updated its guidelines, allowing for more flexibility.
Okay.
They're recognizing that in many cases, religious expression doesn't have to conflict with being ready to serve.
It's a progress, but probably still bumps in the road.
Of course, new cases come up all the time, pushing those boundaries of transgender service members, for example.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other debate.
It is, and it goes back to those fundamental questions Goldman raised. What's allowed, what's not, who decides?
So much to think about. But we focus a lot on the legal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What about the human side? What about Goldman himself?
Easy to forget there's a real person behind all this, right? Cinch Goldman, he was devout. He wanted to serve his country.
And he saw those two things as compatible.
He did. For him, wearing his yarmulk was about honoring both his faith and his service.
It was more than just a piece of cloth. It was part of who he was.
Exactly. A reminder that behind these cases, behind the arguments, there are people with real beliefs, real values.
And their stories matter.
They do. They make these complex issues, well, human.
Okay, I want to circle back to that slippery slope thing.
Sure.
Is that really a worry, or is it just a way to avoid change?
Tough to say. In Goldman, the court seemed genuinely concerned, worried about endless requests.
But was that realistic?
That's the debate. Some people say, look, there's no proof that one accommodation leads to chaos. They say, judge each request on its own merits. How sincere is it? Is there a real risk? Can we find another way?
More nuanced approach.
Exactly. Finding ways to accommodate people of different faiths without, you know, messing up the military's mission.
Sounds like a tough balancing act.
It is, but it requires open minds, willingness to listen, and to find solutions that work for everyone.
All right, so we've really dug into Goldman v. Weinberger. What are the big takeaways here? What do we want our listeners to remember?
Well, I think one of the big things is how Goldman really emphasizes this idea of the military as its own separate society. you know, with its own set of rules.
Right, different from civilian life.
Exactly. And then there's this whole precedent of deference to military decisions, even when they bump up against individual rights.
But we talked about how that deference isn't absolute, right? Courts still need to make sure things are on the up and up.
Oh, absolutely. It's not a free pass for them. Military courts still have a duty to step in, make sure decisions are reasonable, not discriminatory.
It's fascinating how this case from the 80s about a yarmulke is still so relevant today.
It really is Goldman-shaped how we deal with religious accommodation, and those debates are still going strong.
Beards, hijabs, tattoos, even vaccine exemptions. It all goes back to this idea of where do you draw the line?
Right. It's about balancing those individual beliefs with the needs of the military. And honestly, that's a question we're still wrestling with today.
It makes you wonder, can we ever truly find a solution that works for everyone?
It's a tough one. But I think the fact that we're having these conversations, that policies are evolving, that's a good sign.
So maybe there's hope for a future where religious freedom and military service can really coexist.
I'd like to believe so. It'll take a lot of work, open minds, and willingness to adapt. But it's worth striving for.
I think that's a great point to end on. So to wrap things up, I want to leave our listeners with this thought. We've talked about individual rights and military needs. But let's zoom out a bit. What does real, genuine religious freedom look like in a society where some institutions, like the military, have these unique demands?
Wow, that's a really deep question. It goes beyond just this one case. It makes us think about what religious liberty truly means in a diverse and sometimes complicated world.
Because it's not just about wearing a certain thing or following a certain ritual.
Right.
It's about living authentically, according to your beliefs, even when those beliefs might clash with what some institutions expect.
It's about finding that balance, accommodating those differences without compromising what those institutions are all about.
Finding that common ground, it's a challenge, but an important one.
Absolutely. If we truly value religious freedom, it's a challenge we have to face head on.
Well said. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into Goldman v. Weinberger. It's a case that, even decades later, still gets us talking about religious freedom, the military, and what it means to have individual rights in a society like ours.
It's been a pleasure. And to all our listeners out there, keep those questions coming. Keep exploring these issues, because the journey towards true religious freedom is never really over.